This is Brett Musburger, and you are listening live to Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio with my main man, Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Lee Ellis joins us, NBA analyst, also touring the world to play pickup basketball for a book. How are you, my friend?
Very well, Tony. How are you?
How is that book going, by the way? Is it published yet?
No, not quite.
All right, we're getting there, getting closer?
It's hard. I've never sort of been down this road before, so it's quite a workload. But definitely working on it and having a lot of fun trying to put it all together anyway.
It's a great idea of you playing pickup basketball in the international feel of basketball. So I always love talking to you, my friend. James Harden, he gets what he wants out of this deal. He rips Daryl Morey. He gets to go to the Clippers. There is two sides of this. There are people who say it's not going to work. It's too many ingredients in the pot. And some people think, well, he doesn't have to be the guy. They already have the guy. How do you feel? Where do you fit on the James Harden Clipper relationship?
Yeah, I don't think the Clippers needed to make this move, to be honest with you, because you only have to look at James Harden's history of players who he's played with, and he doesn't seem to like playing with anyone who's at his level. I mean, didn't work with Chris Paul or Dwight Howard or Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or Joel Embiid. I mean, Joel Embiid just won MVP last season. Isn't that what every player wants on their team, is to play with another guy at that level? And James Harden powdered his way out of Philadelphia. And just, again, recent history has told us, like, he forced his way out of Houston. He got to a great situation in Brooklyn with Kevin and Kyrie. And then he didn't like that. He goes to Philadelphia. Again, a fantastic situation and environment. Great team, big city. You know, it's a basketball city there in Philadelphia. And he's still not happy. Now he goes to Los Angeles and he's playing with Kawhi and Paul and his former teammate there, Russell Westbrook. But I just think what the same thing is going to happen over and over and over again, which is James Harden's going to have a game in March against Indiana where he has 48 points and 16 assists and he shoots 9 threes and everyone's like, see, the Clippers are dangerous now. But then in the playoffs, you know, James Harden, when they really need a big performance and a big win, he's going to just, shrink like he has done so many times in his career. I mean, his reputation in the playoffs is he's had these incredible games in game one or two of a series, but those closeout moments, games 5, 6, and 7, and last year or last season was just another classic example of that. He just doesn't have it in those big moments. And so I think the Clippers, I mean, they tend to always have something go wrong. The Clippers curse, we know about that. And I think this time they've actually invited it on themselves.
All right, Philadelphia, in terms of the absence of Harden now, how do you look at them? I mean, yes, Tyrese Maxey seems to be emerging. So how do you set what Philadelphia has now that Harden is not on the team?
Well, honestly, I think it's a relief for them. Now, those guys they got in return, Morris and Batum and Covington, I mean, they're veteran guys. They're going to play defense. They're going to shoot three-pointers. That's kind of better for Joel Embiid because he doesn't now have any sort of question as in whose team it is. I mean, it wasn't really that last season, but you know James Harden doesn't like the other guy getting too much shine. But Tyrese Maxey, you mentioned him, like so far he has exploded out of the blocks. I don't think he's going to keep up the 30-point-per-game average, but he knows quite clearly that he's now that number two option. And I think that's really important on any team to have that clear hierarchy. Like Embiid's our guy, Maxey's number two, and then everyone else can sort of fill in the blanks around that. And again, you get those guys like Covington who used to play in Philadelphia, good defender, and he can hit that three-pointer. Nick Batum, the same. I mean, these guys aren't super athletic or super young, but they're veterans. And I think that's really, for Philadelphia, that's not a bad return for a guy who didn't even want to be there and for a guy who just didn't show up in the playoffs. So I just look at Philadelphia this morning and just think they must be waking up going, well, thank God this is over and now we can move forward. And it's the Clippers' problem. And, I've always believed in the past, like, you just want the talent of players. No question about that. But at this stage of the career of Harden and Westbrook and Paul and Kawhi Leonard, I just don't see it working. So I don't think anyone in the Western Conference is looking at the Clippers and going, man, how are we going to stop these guys? I think everyone's instead just going, let's wait for the Clippers to, you know, self-implode here, because that tends to be what happens.
Well, last night when the World Series was getting out of hand, I flipped it and was watching the Spurs-Suns game, and Victor Wembanyama struggled early. The Spurs ended up winning that game late. But I thought to myself, I'm trying to figure out how Victor Wembanyama's growth really is attached to Greg Popovich, who has done this before with international players. How do you see the relationship and what could be for Victor Wembanyama, this unicorn-type player, with a coach like Popovich?
Yeah, I mean, that was a wild ending there last night. Durant was at he was at fault really on both. He didn't box out Wembanyama, and then he just gave up the ball too easily and was expecting the ref to bail him out. And I'm glad they didn't. So that was crazy. Now there's obviously no Beal and no Booker. Give them that, but still, you shouldn't blow a 20-point lead at home with Durant on your team. But yeah, Wembanyama has got the perfect coach in Popovich, because Popovich, you know, we just know that he's the right guy to sort of handle these first years of his career. He's not going to go easy on him. He's going to expect a lot, but he's also not going to expect a lot of wins, I don't think, at this point. It's more about development and how he can just deal and maintain, you know, the pressure of playing every night and knowing that teams are going to try to come at him and really make Wembanyama work at both ends of the floor. It's going to be a lot of development this season, but I just think Popovich is the right guy there for him. But so far, I mean, you know, we're seeing some wild plays out there by Wembanyama defensively, you know, blocking guys who seemingly have 2 or 3 feet of space, and he's getting his fingertips onto those, and then he's having those incredible dunks and, you know, the wild finishes like we saw there last night, and he's hitting the three-pointer. So it's very exciting, but it's just so typical San Antonio. You know, they've had 3 number-one picks in history, you know, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and now Wembanyama. And it just feels like this feels like the opposite of what goes on in cities, in teams like the Clippers, where the Clippers always seem to find internal chaos. Instead, the Spurs always seem to find the right guy at the right time, you know, and they go out there and you know, the Spurs are likely going to be contending in a couple of years' time. I don't think, obviously, this year, but I think in 3 or 4 years, if Wembanyama stays healthy and keeps developing the way that he has so far.
I know it's early, but your thoughts on two teams in the Eastern Conference that are sort of connected with certain players. Milwaukee acquiring Damian Lillard, and then Boston ending up with Drew Holiday out of the trade to Portland because of the Damian Lillard trade. It's early, but who got the better end of this?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I would have said before we saw any games, I would have said easily the Bucks with Lillard, because we just know Damian Lillard is clutch at late in games, and that's fantastic for Giannis. But I have to say the Celtics have really surprised me, because they made a really weird trade, I thought. I thought, why would you get Porzingis and then extend him? But so far, he's also lived up to that fantastic deal by Brad Stevens. He's been really, really good for them. And then to just fall in their lap with Drew Holiday out of that trade was even better for them. So I think the Celtics actually just got away with the better deal, because Lillard, not a great defender, certainly not as good as Drew Holiday, a better offensive player. But the Celtics get a great offensive player in Porzingis, and now they get Drew Holiday, who's just, he's one of those guys who you want the ball in his hand late in games, because he's going to make the right decision. He might take the shot, but he's got options in Brown and Tatum and now Porzingis. So I think the Celtics are quietly happy that they made one big move, and they gave up their heart and soul by trading away Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
But in the end, they get a guy who kind of replaces that in Drew Holiday, and is probably somewhat of a better ball handler. Maybe not quite as good a defender, but certainly a better offensive player. So pretty good offseason here for the Celtics, and so far perfect, and a really good net differential too so far. So everything's going well for the Celtics.
I got a minute, but I wanted to ask you about the West and the Denver Nuggets. Is anybody, whether it is now a full season of Kyrie and Luka, with the Suns getting Bradley Beal, who's going to come into the lineup when I know him and Booker have been out, is there anybody closing the gap? Is it closer, or do you see the Nuggets as a team that's just kind of head and shoulders above everybody, and that's just the way it's going to be?
Yeah, the Nuggets didn't really do much in the offseason. They lose Bruce Brown, but they could afford that. And instead, they've just brought everyone back. And that's where I think, again, you've got your clear star, Jokic. Then you've got Jamal Murray. Then you've got Michael Porter. These guys know where they sort of sit in the food chain. And so they don't have to go out there and do anything. Everyone else has to catch them. The Mavericks are 3-0, but I think that's a little bit sort of inflated, to be honest, because I think when things start to get heavy defensively, I think they're going to come back to earth a little bit. I'd be more worried about the Warriors if I'm the Nuggets so far, just because they've been there before. They've done it. Chris Paul's on that team now. But really, the Nuggets, if they stay healthy, I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't be considered the NBA champion favorite pretty much all season.
Lee Ellis, always good talking to you, my friend. And again, love to catch up with you soon. Thank you so much, as always.
Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis, our NBA analyst, talking a little about the Harden trade. And I'm with him. I it's not so much the plug-and-play aspect like a computer game. It is like, this is Harden's fourth team in like a little over 2 years. He just doesn't like being where he is. He forced his way out of Houston, forced his way out of Brooklyn, forced his way out of Philadelphia. He's right. This is going to be awesome, and he's right. There'll be a game where he'll be great, and everyone will say, look, it's working, it's working, it's working, and then it won't work. And then you'll hear the same stuff, just different verbiage, different location. That's kind of where I'm leaning towards. All right, we will continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. A lot to unpack. Busy, busy morning. It's November 1st. So hope you all had a good, safe Halloween. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.